thank you to Ari Brandspiegel for running point over here in the Yisrael Woodmere. We just had a question-answer session with the Rosh Hashanah, so that was pretty awesome. But it was running a little bit late, and I was tasked with the one to be the one to ask the questions, so I couldn't leave in the middle. My apologies about that. On another occasion, maybe we'll go through some of the questions and answers. They were quite fascinating. But for right now, we have some Yaradea to learn. So again, thank you to Ari Brandspiegel for allowing me to use his computer over here and his Shulchan Aruch and everything else. So let's begin. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to try to finish up Simen Tzadi Hei, and we were about to discuss dishwashers and how to relate to all of the things we've been learning as it relates to a modern dishwasher. So when it comes to dishwashers, there are a few things that you need to take into consideration. We mentioned that the Badei HaShulchan holds that all of this stuff about the Nosein Tam Lafgam and putting the afer in, putting the soap in, that's going to be pogam, everything, all of that is only b'diavad. L'chadchila, you're not allowed to do that stuff. L'chadchila, you're not allowed to put milchigs and fleishigs in the same washing bin, even if you're going to put soap in that bin and it's all going to be Nosein Tam Lafgam. So clearly, we assume that l'chadchila, you should not put milchig and fleishig, dirty dishes in the same dishwasher at the same time, no matter how much detergent you're putting in the dishwasher. But I don't think most of us would have a hava amina to do that, certainly if we don't want to get thrown out of our homes. But what happens if you find, b'diavad, you found a dairy fork in your fleishig dishwasher, so it would seem that the fork should be mutter because the dishwasher soap would be like the afer, which would make it a tampagum, and it would also seem that the Shulchan Aruch would permit even the chadchila. But that's not so simple, because most dishwashers, or many dishwashers at least, are not necessarily pogame all the water immediately. Most dishwashers have a heating element at the bottom that reheats the water, and that heat might fill the entire dishwasher with zeya, which will transfer blios also. So two considerations over here. Consideration number one, l'chumra, when it comes to a dishwasher, is that the tam pogum may not enter the dishwasher right away, that the tam may transfer before tam pogum enters the dishwasher, because sometimes there's a rinse cycle with hot water, and only then it will release the soap. So only then will it release what is the halachic equivalent of the afer that the Shulchan Aruch talks about. And then you have this other consideration that we may not only be talking about Iroi, we may not only be talking about Iroi Kli Rishon, where we have the discussion whether it's able to do multiple things, to heat up the food and also be mavliya the food into the kelim, because many dishwashers have a heating element at the bottom that reheats the water, and that heat can fill the dishwasher. If you were to open the dishwasher mid-cycle, sometimes if you didn't go through a dry cycle, you just open up the dishwasher right away, you'll be like a steam will like hit you in the face. It will really be a strong amount of steam, and one could argue that there's a lot of zeya in the dishwashers, and zeya, we've learned, if you have like a pot with a pot cover on it, that the zeya fills the whole rest of the pot. That's ki'ilu, it's if it's like hevel, it's like this thick zeya that could transfer blios on its own. So you have that chashash as well as the chashash of a direct hit of an iroi on a be'en. So the tshuvas that we have that are very makel about dishwashers don't seem to take that zeya concern into account. It could be that in the early dishwashers, there was no real zeya. It could be all it had was iroi, that they didn't really have a heating element at the bottom that created a sense of zeya. So essentially, there are two types of dishwashers. Some that emit soap immediately at the onset of the cycle, while others first spritz hot water all over the dishes to remove the big piece of food, and only later does it release some of the detergent. So if your dishwasher first emits soap or simultaneously releases the soap together with the very first rinse of water, then the water is nifgam right away, and l'chora, the dishes will be permitted, at least b'diavad. However, if you have a dishwasher that releases the water, so you need to define the status of that spritz of water in order to determine the status of your dishes. So some of the Achronim learned that the inside of the dishwasher heats up, and therefore everything in the dishwasher, including that spritz of water, has a status of not iroi kli rishon, but kli rishon, because there's a heating element in the dishwasher. So if that's the case, everyone will agree that you're not allowed to use the dishwasher for dairy and meat together. And if you accidentally put kalim of both dairy and meat in the dishwasher, then they're all going to be usser, even if later soap is introduced into the cycle. Because if they're first washed with water, the flavor transfers right at that point. However, some poskim learn that the spritz of the water does in fact have the status of iroi kli rishon, and therefore, according to the Ramah, the dishes would be mutter, but according to the Shach and the Igros Moshe, the dishes would be bolea kadei klipa, and would then need to be kashered. So if you find a dairy fork or even according to Ramesha, that we'd be making, right? Ramesha holds that one of the ability to heat up the food and then also transfer the tam. So, but according to the Shach, the simple reading of the Shach at least, it would seem to be that you'd have to be machmer. So if you find a dairy fork in your fleishig dishwasher or a fleishig cycle of your dishwasher, and your dishwasher first spritzes water without soap, so then you would need to kasher that dairy fork. Most modern day dishwashers do run a first water only cycle before it releases the soap. Nevertheless, there are people that are makel anyway, despite the fact that it runs a water-only cycle. Why would you be makel anyway? So a number of seirufim lahakel. First of all, maybe the fleishik food residue never actually came in contact with the dairy fork, meaning when a dishwasher is running optimally, the idea, the way it's designed, is not to take all of the particles of food from the dish and put it on every other dish in the dishwasher, right? It's meant to get those particles of food off of the dishes, send it down to the drain where it will definitely become pugum with the mixture of soap and everything else. It's not really meant to just, spritzed around the dishwasher onto all the other food. So it could be that there was never a particle of flesh that made its way onto your fork at all. And even if a particle of flesh did make its way onto your fork, maybe it only came into contact with the fork after that residue was already nifkam by the soap, meaning you don't know at what point during the cycle it came into contact. So it could be that, a little piece of meat at some point hit your milchik fork, but at what point? Maybe it wasn't initially at the original rinse cycle where the soap had not yet been introduced. Maybe it was only after the soap was introduced. And even if the residue came in contact with the dairy fork before it was nifkam, you still have the sheet of the Ramah who says that Iroi Mikli Rishon is not going to answer the dishes even when they have residue on them. So this is, and this, by the way, is, what's the question over here? What is considered be'en for this? Would schnitzel crumbs be blios or be'en? So, meaning on most of the time, it's a good question, because a lot of times people rinse all their dishes before they put them in the dishwasher. So they're basically clean. They just have like a little bit of a film on them or something like that. Chullent chunks, okay, something like that. So even if you rinse them, usually if you fill up a dishwasher, many of the kalim have actual be'en, have actual something that would be hard. Chullent chunks, for example, is hard to say. Is not a real be'en. And even with the schnitzel crumbs, very often it's not just the crumbs; they're like little pieces. So in those little pieces, they go on a fork and you have a direct interview with the Rishon, it could be difficult to say that there's no be'en in the dishwasher. This, by the way, is the primary issue with Starbucks, right? Why is it that the CRC took such a strong stance against just getting plain regular coffee at a Starbucks? It was one thing we always knew in Kashrus was that you can get a coffee anywhere. That plain coffee is always going to be fine because there's nothing wrong with plain coffee, right? So until a few years ago, the CRC and the Star K started coming out with guidelines for a Starbucks, and they were mechalek between kiosk Starbucks and a full service store, because Starbucks realized at a certain point that while it's great to charge $7 for a cup of coffee, people want to also pay an additional $7 for a piece of cake with that cup of coffee, or for a little ham sandwich with that cup of coffee. So if people are going to be willing to pay for that, so they can make a lot more money. So they started having these Starbucks pastries and sandwiches cheeses and other foods that are served at a Starbucks. Okay, I'm not going to order those foods. I'm not going to eat chazer. I'm not going to do that, obviously. But how do they wash their dishes? Meaning the coffee is made with what they call the brew basket, where they put the Starbucks coffee grinds in a filter that's in a plastic basket, and that basket needs to be washed every once in a while. So official Starbucks policy, that basket is put in a dishwasher. And what else goes in that dishwasher? Everything else, all the trefah kalim from all the food that they serve. So the question is, do you have enough to be samech on that, what exactly is going to happen over here? That there's going to be an irui kli rishon while it's in the dishwasher to be boleya from the trefah kalim, assuming that there's still be'en on the kli, and that's going to go into the brew basket, and then it's going to go from the brew basket through an Irui Kli Rishon again into the coffee, because that's also going to be an Irui Kli Rishon when it pours into the brew basket. Yeah, but would you ever want to use such trefa dishes in your kitchen? And there is enough to be machmer with when it comes to Irui Kli Rishon. I mean, you could be machmer like the Shach, that it will have that kind of impact. So this was the major issue when it came to the Starbucks. Why were they mechalek with the kiosks? Because by the kiosks, even if they do have some sort of food, that all gets delivered to the kiosk, and they just serve it on throwaway on plastic plates or whatever. There's no washing of anything. The only thing that they ever wash is the brew baskets. I had a Talmud years ago who worked in a Starbucks. He was a barista. He was going through. He needed a job, and he was a barista in a Starbucks. So I asked him at the time, is this true? Do they put the trefa dishes together with... He said, well, technically we're supposed to, but I've never seen anyone in the store actually do it. I said, so what do you do? He said, we take the brew basket and we just rinse it in the sink and we put it right back in. You know, we're not going to... it's just such a waste of time. Like, why would you... I mean, it doesn't get so dirty, it just gets coffee on it. So you rinse it in the sink, so it doesn't have so much coffee on it. He said that he's not so sure that it really happens, but that could just be the culture of the store that he was working in. I think the CRC actually did a study of they went to many, many different Starbucks locations to see how they operated. Now, it could also be that the people in those stores felt that if someone's looking over their shoulders, they better do everything kadasu kadin, like company policy, and they were using the dishwashers even though they normally wouldn't use the dishwashers. I don't know. It's a very complicated sugya. I once got a call. I got a call from Yami Schechter, and he was in an airport, and he wanted to know what the psak was with Starbucks. I said, if only you had a rabbi in your family that you could call. He said, hey, he doesn't know anything about Starbucks. Come on, So these kiosks they're always much more makele with. Now, most poskim hold that if you find a dairy fork in your fleshig dishwasher, best thing to do is to kasher the fork, because you might as well. However, Rav Moshe has in a tshuva, Negus Moshe Arachayim, Simon Kuf Dalet, I think it's Chelik Aleph, I didn't write in my notes, he writes, Hinei tsarich, shemash betocho shuhu alma shemenichan akelim, shiyia likli basar acherim likli chalav acherim. How do you say racks, dishwashing racks in Igros Moshe language? You can't call it Hebrew, I guess, in rabbinic Hebrew, right? Ma shebetocho shuhu al ma shemanichan akelim, right? The thing in the dishwasher, where they put the kelim. So that the dishwashing racks. So you should have l'kli basar acherim l'kli chalav acherim. Notice what Moshe is saying. Same dishwasher. You could have the same dishwasher for milch and fleishig. Just change the racks. Have milchig racks and fleishig racks. Ve'etzem hadishwasher shemasimin betocha adavar shemenichin alav akelim shurak hadefanos shesivivosam, and the actual body of the dishwasher, yichal l'shtam yishmol l'shneim b'zeh achar zeh. That you can, that's no problem. You could have it used for milchig and fleishig, says Rav Moshe. He goes on to say, Shamatam Yishum Du Pashut. He says, in my initial tshuva about the topic, I didn't give the explanation for this. And there's a good reason I didn't give the explanation, because it's a Dover Pashut. Well, why is it a Dover Pashut that you're allowed to use the same dishwasher for milk and inflation? Rav Moshe says, I didn't explain it because it's obvious that you could use the same dishwasher for milk and inflation. My only concern is the racks. What's so obvious about it? Da Be'etzem Hu Nat Parnat. Shemut mi basal chala v'ipcha umefurish brama simin sadiyei siv gimel. What do you need me to tell you? Not brana is mutter. Od yoser da afilu basal amayim shehutchu ben akli basar. Mutal adiach gamis akli chalav asher shutl mishom akli basar imlo yebe'en o shayisham mayim shishim neged abe'en. He says only that, even if it was the same water circulating, you'd be allowed to use it. V'kol shkein b'kan sheimayim acherim, especially over here, all the water drains and it's new water that comes in. Aval masha ani matzrich sha'al masha manich na kelim tzorich sheyu acherim, that which I require, that the zach, that they put the kelim on, that the racks have to be different racks. The fact that I require that, hu mitam shematzui, he says that it's very common that sheyishar davar be'en me'abasar v'shuman v'yiga ba'akli chalav, that sometimes there will be a be'en that remains on the racks and that could touch the kli chalav v'chein ibcha sha'az k'sheyavau amayim chayim sheyatz aladis ben yavliu ba'akli chalav v'ibcha ve'en l'smoch al-mashamayim yadichu ha-be'en ki v'dematzei sheyishar. He says, and you cannot rely that the dishwasher has been totally cleared of any be'en that's in the dishwasher, because it doesn't always work that way. A lot of times there are little pieces of meat. You empty out your fleshic dishwasher and you look in the dishwasher, you'll see little particles of meat all over the racks. So you'll have like that all the time. And therefore you have to be concerned about that. But no one actually inspects the racks to make sure that there's no meat that's be'en on the racks. So even if you decide, no, I'm going to look, I'm going to make sure that there's no be'en, you might forget because it's not normal to look every single time. Essentially what Ramosha is telling us is a fascinating mitzius. It's a question whether it's still the mitzius. Ramosha says the actual walls of the dishwasher I'm not concerned about at all, because at worst it's a not bar nata teira with an irikli rishon, so it may not even be a not bar nata teira. And then what? It's a not bar not bar not, because what's going to happen? The tam of the flesh is going to go into the walls, and then the walls is going to give the tam into the water, and then the water is going to go back and give the tam into the milch gadishes. So it's not bar not, but you know it's not bar not bar not. And it's all Leroy anyway, so you don't even know that it's actually giving Tom at all. But the racks, he says, that's more of a concern, because on the dishwashing racks, very often they're dirty. Very often there are actual particles of basar. Now he's assuming two things. He's assuming, number one, that basar that remains on the racks, or chalav that remains on the racks, is not pagum, which is never the case. Anything that's been through a dishwashing cycle, l'chara, you could assume is pagum. Someone texted me after the last shiur that he took one for the team and he decided to taste some dishwashing soap and it wasn't so terrible. Wasn't as nasty as you would think. I still think I'm not going to try it myself, but I still think that it's a tam pagum. So that's in terms of so he's assuming that it's not going to be pagum. And he's assuming that it's there. I don't know, you ever look in a dishwasher? I don't think I've ever seen in my life. Sometimes on the kli, it just didn't wash off the kli well enough. If the dishwasher didn't do a great job, or you put it on a very light cycle when it really needed a heavier cycle or something like that. But on the racks, that there should be meat sitting on the racks, I think it's a different metzius. I don't know if that metzius is still true nowadays. But anyways, this is what Ramesha says, that you could use the same dishwasher for meat and dairy dishes, just not simultaneously, and only if you have separate racks for meat and milk. And the reason is that just like cleaning benyamah dishes one after the other in the same vat of water is mutter, so washing dishes in the same dishwasher, which would be the vat of water one after the other, especially since it empties the water, it drains all the water, is permissible. So it's like washing dirty dairy dishes in the same a cauldron of water that you washed fleshing dishes in previously. Rav Meisha held that you can't kasher, so this touched on the issue of Pesach also, within Shloshim Yom, right, about kashering dishwashers. Rav Meisha held that you can't kasher synthetic rubber for Pesach, but you can cut synthetic rubber, which is what coats the racks of a dishwasher. Every dishwasher nowadays I should back up a step. Many of the things you find in earlier pasukim about dishwashers assume that dishwashers are made of porcelain. Dishwashers have not been made of porcelain since like 1978 or something. The inside of a dishwasher is either plastic or almost all of them now have a metal inside. There are plastic components. The wheels that the racks wheel on, sometimes the tracks that hold the racks, things like that, and the racks themselves have a rubber coating on it that has a din of plastic. So what it often boils down to is whether you hold that's kasherable, that you can kasher synthetic rubber. So Ramesha held, Rabbi Eider quotes in his Sefer, Ramesha held that you're not allowed to kasher synthetic rubber for Pesach, but you can kasher year-round. And since the dishwasher racks are coated with synthetic rubber, that you shouldn't kasher Pesach. Rabbi Forrest, in the Kosher Kitchen, quotes that the Chalkas Yaakov and Rav Vadia and Tzitz Eliezer are all matir kasher in plastic, and they could be kashered for Pesach, or and Ramesha would say even from treif, you're allowed, meaning only from treif for sure you're allowed to kasher. It's only a question whether we have a chumra to chametz. When we've spoken to Shachter about kashering dishwashers, he thought that I guess we'll get to this when we talk about kashering kelim. But he thought that that it would have to be a major tzorich for Pesach. That it would have to be something that is going to be just shas et chak. It's going to be very very challenging. It's going to be too difficult. If it's a major tzorich, then you can rely on kashering plastic for Pesach with the dishwasher. Rabbi Gersten from the OU was arguing that maybe, I remember when we had this discussion, he argued that maybe you can't, that the temperature of the water is not consistent, so you don't know that you're necessarily getting a Kabbalah Kachpolto, but I guess we should save that discussion for when we talk about Kashin. What does Yoni ask over here? Does this or Moshe have bearing for when you find a Kli in the wrong dishwasher? He's only talking about using the same dishwasher for consecutive use of the opposite type, but well, not simultaneous. Correct, right? Rav Moshe is not talking about simultaneous. Simultaneous, he said, it's for sure aser, because the lechatchil, it's for sure aser. But the avid, there is what to be made with. But I think the practice is, if it's a kasherable kli, you kasher it. If it's not, there's probably room to be made also. Did Rav Moshe say yes or no if there are racks? What do you mean? Ramesha held that if you have a separate dairy racks and separate meat racks, you could use the same dishwasher for milks and flakes. He was very clear about that. Yeah, absolutely. As far as kashering for Pesach, Ramesha was not excited about kashering plastic for Pesach in general, so the racks he would not allow kashering for Pesach. But kashering in general, if you buy a house and it has a beautiful dishwasher that's only a few months old or something, and you have no desire to replace the dishwasher, can you kasher it? So Ramesha l'chora would allow kashering. The question is how to kasher it, right? Can you just run it through on a high setting? Is that enough to kasher it? So that we're going to have to wait till we discuss kasher and kelim. So that's not for right now. Rav Avadia in Yabia Omer Chilik Yud, Yoredei Asimin Yodalid, Rav Avadia writes, Maskana Dedina. We'll cut right to the chase, right? Maskana Dedina, says Rav Avadia Yosef, Shiesh Laharos Heter B'Madiach Kelim, L'Klei Basra L'Klei Chalav, Afilu B'Yachad! He says you can wash milchik flesh dishes in the dishwasher simultaneously. But he says you want to be really frum, so then you should do a milchik wash and then a fleshig wash and not have them there at the same time. But Meyagra didn't. He also accused milchik and flesh simultaneously. Just best not to. So it's interesting because in Yalkut Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Yosef writes that it's kasha lahakel. It's hard to be makel to allow it to use the same dishwasher simultaneously because there's food residue all over the place. But to use the same dishwasher for meat and then milk, that you can do, Rav Yitzchak Yosef writes. He adds that wedding halls and hotels have a lot of dishes, and it's very hard to supervise the dairy or fleshig dishes are entering the dishwasher separately. So he says really best for hotels and wedding halls and things like that to have separate dishwashers for dairy and meat, even l'shitas Rav Yitzchak Yosef, where doing one after the other, or like Rav Moshe, they were doing one after the other, is going to be fine, that you should really have separate dishwashers. Meaning, Rav Yitzchak Yosef does not even require separate racks. Rav Vadi Yosef also does not require separate racks. Rav Vadi Yosef seems to say that you could even do it simultaneously at the same time, but he thinks it's better to be machmir not to do at the same time. So when they kasher a hotel, usually they don't kasher a dishwasher. Usually what they do, it's an absolute mess. What they do is, and again, Rav Ashraya listens to these shiurim, so I'm sure I'm going to get some of the metzius background. He'll send me, I hope. But my impression is that they bring like a truck full of food, and they bring back trucks full of filthy, disgusting, smelly dishes back to wherever the commissary is, and that's where they wash them. They're not going to kasher the dishwashers in the hotel. Now, when it comes to glass, a lot of people hold that glass is not balea, I mean, it's machlokes rishonim, even Ashkenazim and machmir lechatchila. The Echsherim allow them to clean glass in a tray for dishwasher. A lot of the Echsherim are makel about using glass in a tray for dishwasher because you have all sorts of sveikos, meaning there's the possibility that glass is not balea, plus all the sveikos about a dishwasher. So it's a motivation for caterers to use glass dishes because they won't have to bring back as much smelly stuff afterwards after the event. I'm told that a lot of the wedding halls that are commonly used are purely kosher, but there are obviously a lot of places that do treifa weddings and kosher weddings. So this is a very common shaila in all these hotels, in a Hilton hotel or wherever, all these different hotels. In Marina Del Rey, they actually have a separate kosher kitchen and separate kosher dishwashers. So because they have enough of a firm clientele that the caterer was able to build his own his own matzav over there. Okay, now just to finish up this this simen, in Si'if Hey, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that you're not allowed to put kutach, which we know is milchig, next to an open dish that's filled with salt, because you're worried that the kutach might somehow spritz into the salt, and then you might come to use the salt with meat. So Badei HaShulchan and Sivkan Sadi Beis explains that it's usher to put them next to each other, even if they're not touching. But he doesn't say, he points out that the poskim never really tell us, like, so how far? What do you mean next to? Like, is it a tefach? Is it an etzpa? Like, how do you measure how close the kutach and the salt are allowed to be from each other? So when making a simcha or something, a person should try not to put an open jar of sugar next to the milk lechora, because drops of milk can fall into the sugar, and you'll use that sugar for your chalent or other meat dishes. That could be a problem if you're dealing with something, meaning it might have to mean whether it's salt or whether it's sugar. It's in, it's something like that. That's a spice that you would clearly use at both milchig and fleishig, so you shouldn't have it next to a bottle of milk. The Rama points out that the din of the Shulchan Aruch is only if both the kutach and the salt are uncovered. But if one of them is covered, then it's all going to be mutter. So if you did accidentally put an open jar of salt next to the kutach, the Rama goes on to say, you could still use the salt, even the chachila, meaning the svara is that we didn't see that the kutach actually fell into the salt. So in machzik and reyes, so we're not going to make up a problem that we don't know exists. We just try to avoid the situation which is likely to lead to a problem. But I didn't see any milk fall into the salt. But if you happen to notice that there are like chunks of salt that are like sticking together, and the salt was sitting right next to the milk, so you can two and two together and realize that you have an actual chashash. By the coffee station at a bris, you see a big bowl of sugar, and right next to the big bowl of sugar is the milk, and the sugar is like wet. It's like and it's not humid outside, right? So then you should put two and two together and not use that sugar with anything fleishig. There are poskim that say, well, wait a second, the Shulchan Aruch never said anything about sugar, he only said about salt. Maybe this is only the salt, because salt is very commonly used with meat. Who puts sugar in their meat? So, nevertheless, it seems that there's room to be machmir, because we do put sugar in meat. A lot of gravies that they put on meat have all sorts of sweeteners. There are lots of sweet gravies that people, and barbecue sauces and the like, that people put on meat.
What are the questions over here? Can one eat from a Sephardi's kelim who relies on Rav Avadya's tshuva?
I think probably in a b'dievet situation, everything's going to be mutter anyway. I mean, there's at least what to argue that everything will be mutter. So probably you can. You don't have to ask the questions, meaning, you don't have to ask, did this go in the dishwasher? When did it go in the dishwasher? I don't think you have to go asking questions. The person's generally Reish Shemayim. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Vav goes on to say that a person is allowed to put an open container of meat next to an open container of milk. So the Shach says that that's only talking about Megula. But the Shulchan in Sifkan Sadizayin points out that when it comes to salt and kutach, which we learned in Sif Hei, where the tarovis of the two of them is not aser. There's nothing wrong with having kutach with salt. So that's where we're more machmir to put them next to each other if they're both exposed, because no one's going to be super careful to make sure that the salt and kutach don't mix, because if salt and kutach mix, it's not a big deal. It's not a real problem. But by milk and meat, where the tarovis of the two is going to be an iser, so Chazal had to be didn't have to be so machmir, because they knew that you're going to be careful anyway. You're going to be extra diligent to make sure that the milk and the meat don't mix. Nonetheless, Rama says, try to be machmir about that also. Don't put milk and meat containers next to each other. If they were left exposed next to each other, then both are mutter, because ain machzik and reyusa. But yeah, let's say you're putting something away in the refrigerator. So it's always good practice to cover everything that you put in the refrigerator. Don't leave things stam exposed in the refrigerator. But sometimes a person just puts a plate in the refrigerator. So if you have a plate of noodles and cheese right next to a plate of pepper steak right next to each other in the refrigerator, so that's the Rama says you should not do. So according to the Rama, don't put open dairy and flesh in containers next to each other. That's it, in the fridge, on the counter, because you're worried that one may fall into the other. In the Ohel Yaakov, he quotes Poskim and goes so far as to say that you should designate a section of the fridge for meat and a section for dairy, and those two sections shouldn't be next to each other. The dairy section should be on the bottom, because more dairies are liquid. You have milk and things like that. That's what he suggests. However, he then quotes Rav Yisrael Pesach, a fine handler, that you could put dairy and flesh foods on the same level of the fridge as long as they're covered. Of course, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Meaning the Rama said that this is only an issue if it's open containers, and even then, open containers next to each other, but the evidence is going to be mutter unless you actually saw them spill into one another. So it seems like an excessive chumrah. You know, it used to be that you only needed one sink and you just had to know how to use it. So then every kosher kitchen needed two sinks. And then, okay, but you only needed one oven. So now every kosher kitchen needs two ovens. And now we have a new thing. Every kosher kitchen needs to have two refrigerators also. So that seems, that seems a little bit, three, you gotta have for parav also, right? You have to have for parav also. So it seems like a little bit much to be choshish. Now, in an industrial setting, it's entirely different. In an industrial setting, it makes a lot of sense that you have separate sides of the kitchen with separate refrigerators or whatever, because there, things will just get confused much more easily, because you have workers that are not that familiar, that are quickly grabbing something and will dump it into the food. They'll use it as an ingredient in the food that you're eating. So in an industrial setting, it's totally different. But in a regular kitchen, in a person's home, it seems like an excessive chumrah. Now, sometimes, I know, like on Wednesday nights sometimes, today's Wednesday? Yeah. So sometimes on Wednesday nights, my wife makes a huge pot of chicken soup. And that's going to last for she freezes most of it, and it's going to last for weeks. So this is gigantic, I don't even know where she got such a big pot. She must have, stolen it from the army or something. It's like, it's a ginormous pot of chicken soup. And we eat it, we'll eat the chicken out of it for dinner on Wednesday night, and then freeze all of it. Until she has time to portion it out, it will take some time. So she'll always ask me, you have to before I go to sleep on Wednesday night, to stick it in the refrigerator so it doesn't sit out the whole night. She doesn't want to stick it in the refrigerator too early because it's mamish piping hot. It will break the refrigerator because of the heat that it's emitting. So if you're dealing with something hot that you're putting into a refrigerator, especially if it's full to the top, and like as I'm carrying it to the refrigerator, it's very often spilling over the sides. So then you want to be a little extra careful. Make sure that where you're putting it, there's no milk spilled on that spot of the refrigerator. That's mustavra, that you'd want to be extra careful when you're dealing with something hot. The Prima Gadim in Sivkatan Yud Zayin says that just like according to the Shulchan Aruch, you could put open meat and milk containers next to each other because you're going to be so careful that they're not going to mix. It's milk and meat. You can also put non-kosher food containers next to open kosher food containers because you'll also be careful. Meaning you want to be careful about kashrus. You're not going to want to have anything non-kosher. So you don't have to worry about that either. Meaning if, let's say, in an office setting or something, you left your lunch out and then you saw that your coworker left their trefa lunch out right next to your kosher lunch, well, so you have what to be making. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin then goes on to say, just to wrap up Siman Tzadi Hei over here, I realize we're just about out of time. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin tells us that if you put salt in a clean fleshik plate, you could put that salt in milk. And the reason is because salt doesn't have the power to take out any absorbed meat flavor from the plate. The Ramah says that if someone is machmir about that, Tavol of bracha. To be machmir about that, about what? I took a clean fleshik plate, had salt, which is dry, on a clean fleshik plate, and be machmir not to use that salt with milchi. So comes along the Taz, the Sifkat Nirchas, and he says, you don't need to be choshish for such a chumra. Salt doesn't have the ability to just stam, take flavor out of kelim. Taz quotes the Marshal, that if you use that salt with your hands during a fleshik meal, then you shouldn't use the salt for a dairy meal, because we're worried that maybe your hands had actual meat residue on them. That's a different story, but to take the blios out of a plate, that's a little far-fetched. Badei HaShulchan says that maybe the Ramah's concerned that the plate maybe wasn't clean. That nowadays we try to make sure our dishes are very, very clean before we reuse them, but maybe people weren't always so careful of that, so maybe there was meat residue on the dish, and that's what the Ramah's concerned about. Now, salt in a dirty fleshik dish, maybe the salt is picking up some of the grime, so it's exactly what the Marshal was concerned about, right? The Marshal says, if I'm touching the salt with my greasy hands during a fleshik meal, then I shouldn't use that salt in a milchig meal. So my nafkamina, whether it's my greasy hands or my greasy plate, the point is it's picking up the flesh of grease. So that's the issue that the Ramah probably is concerned about. It doesn't seem that that would be a major concern. Bizman hazeh. Okay, I apologize about later time for shir today, and be'ezras Hashem tomorrow. Back in person, regular time, and Siman Sadivav, which is our last Siman in Basar B'chalav. Noam, can you put milk on parv food cooked in a parv pot that went through a meat dishwasher? Would the pot retain its parv status? Yeah, pashtos. Meaning better not to put it through with the meat cycle with the dirty flesh of the dishes, but even then you have a lot to be Siman.
Okay.